Dieter and Hutch getting holistic and a bit nerdy here on Halloween. We're not even going to acknowledge it. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about another cursed land. I don't know what their electromagnetic field situation is. We're going to talk about the New York Giants in the swamps of Jersey. I heard the Springsteen movie sucked. And yeah. What were your takeaways, Jake? Let's just get right into it.
Well, I haven't seen the movie, but it looked – it's tough. It's a tough role for Jeremy Allen White. You know,
I'm a big fan of Springsteen's Nebraska, the album, one of the hand-me-downs from my father. Great album. They have Electric Nebraska now. Unbelievable. But Jets on fire today. But that the trailer for that movie was effectively Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Yeah.
It's like he needs to think about his whole life before he goes on stage. It was...
I know.
Not terribly
excited. And then it's Kendall Roy just trying to play like
we believe in Bruce Springsteen.
Tough. Tough.
All right.
What am I thinking from the Giants?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Let me start with we pretty consistently rip Jackson Dart a new one, but he's doing some cool stuff out there. I think we can acknowledge he's slinging it. He's moving. He's doing some cool stuff.
There are moments also, for sure.
Yeah. I think it's tough to balance the fact that I've seen him make such egregious, like boneheaded errors in such key high leverage moments.
Right.
That I can't really rationalize that. And there's also like the Giants media entity where every Giants reporter seems to have anointed him as Christ. Genuinely, there's like a weird, like psychosomatic, like borderline.
No, I think it's a sexual thing.
No, honest. That's where I was going with it. It's unwell. And I don't really know what to make of that. And I would prefer not to make anything of it. But because of that, it's hard to be like, all right, how good actually is Jackson Dart or bad versus all of this noise? And I think he's pretty good for a rookie. I think what will end up happening is next year there will be some catching up where he will start to – teams will go, oh, is he actually – reading? And there's some people that are like, look, he is reading the field. It's like, well, once the play breaks down, he starts to look, which is how that naturally works. But I don't know how much he's actually reading the field. So that's all to say, it's a long-winded way of saying we are not Jackson Dart fans, but I have been impressed. I think there's a lot to like from him.
Yeah,
I don't know that he is the truth that people are anointing him as. I still have a lot of reservations about the way he handles the ball in key moments and like what he's actually seen out there. But, you know, I mean, for the Giants and for a rookie, it's been fun.
They run the Arizona Cardinals offense, which not a compliment. Very derogatory statement from Dieter Kurtenbach. It is all flats. It is simplistic, to say the least. This watching Jackson Dart is the fullest indictment of Kyler Murray one can give. Because they run the same offense. One of them is on their second NFL contract. This guy is a rookie who, under the circumstances, you go, hey, not bad. But he still spends a tremendous amount of time looking at the back of his offensive line.
Right.
It is prescribed throws. There is every 10 to 15 dropbacks, a play where he actually scans the field, rips one, and you're like, hey, now we're talking.
Yeah, and he can really layer the ball. Like he's got some nice touch on it.
I didn't catch that personally, but
maybe it's just the way he throws it. I think there's a swaggy element to the way he plays that
I wrote that down a couple of times.
Makes you feel like it's better than it is.
So I feel like he deliberately wants to throw off his back foot because it looks cooler. Is that an inappropriate
maybe
note?
Holding his wrist at the end of the throws. Like, man, that was a sick throw.
I legitimately have a note here that it seems as if he wants to look cool. Like,
I think that's.
And you know what? I think he's nailing it. Mission accomplished, young man. You
definitely
do kind of look cool
for sure.
I don't know what that means.
I won't acknowledge
it.
You don't need to.
This kid has watched a lot of Cam Newton, but he is not 6'5" and 240 pounds.
Right.
That's the difference. And frankly, the way that he runs is going to get him killed. And I've made that comment to a couple of folks who were like, Dart and Scatabo, and I'm like, enjoy it while it lasts, because they're both playing as if they're willing to die at any moment.
For Scadabo to go out like how he did on a random freak play, as opposed to doing what he loves, which is running head first into another person.
It was the only part of his body he wasn't fully, like, his neck has calloused. Like, you couldn't possibly break it. But ankles, I mean, he just hadn't worked his way all the way down yet. Dable is clearly, let's just talk about Brian Dable for a second. I think that if you had a competent organization, he would have been fired already.
I agree.
Because even in this newfound competence, I'm not even sure I'd call it that.
Yeah.
He is desperately, desperately saying, like, hey, I'm trying to save my job. Everything that he does is just dripping with desperation.
Yeah.
And the way that they run Dart is malpractice. I don't know. There's some of this that is Dart, right? He stares at the back of the line, never brings his eyes up, and then he's like, I guess I got to run. And he's actually a pretty awesome scrambler. But
yes, he is.
But there are also prescribed runs from the offense where it's like, go out there and die. And I get that you need to move him, but he's not Josh Allen. He's not Cam Newton. He's 6'2". I mean, he's a big enough quarterback, but he's right. Not someone who should be delivering blows at the second level, and that's how he runs.
Yeah, the sliding is not really part of his game either. He's not really – it's all uncomfortable. I just had a flashback to the play where he ran left, the one you sent me, we saw weeks ago where he just ran left.
Threw it in the ground.
Just fumbled with no one near him whatsoever.
I look at this offense and I say the Niners statistically have the worst pressure rate in the NFL. It's not even particularly close. So that is an issue. But I think Jackson Dart is a combination of a couple of things that the Niners have had success with so far this season, which is they have a quarterback who can't operate any offense other than the one that they have been operating up until this point. There is no second kind of smoke.
Right.
So they've had some success with that with Kyler Murray and a couple other quarterbacks. They also, this is a quarterback who is very easily tricked. That is what stood out to me.
I think, I think Saleh, it's funny. You can read it sort of in a couple different ways. I think I sent you the quote that was really interesting from him in terms of like, their communication, he admitted the communication's been bad and maybe he's putting too much on them, but also there's a need to sort of throw as much as they can at other teams, yep, giving the limitations they have and saying we can live with some of the errors. And I think if you were going to read into that, you could say maybe he's giving a signal that, oh, they want to simplify things a bit and that if you're another team reading into that, oh, maybe they'll keep it a little bit simpler because they're not communicating very well. I think Saleh's going to keep it weird. I think there's going to be a lot of disguises. He's going to keep peeling defensive ends. He's just going to make things muddy, and it's a little bit going to be sort of the Brian Flores of, I don't know if this is good. I don't know if this will work, but it will confuse you and make you think for a half second too long for a defense that needs that extra half second.
It's just aggression, and they're going to make the other team beat you. And it's not to say that there isn't enough talent on the Giants offense. I mean, they might be at like the very bare minimum, but there is enough talent on the Giants offense to beat this 49ers defense. If the 49ers defense does the opposite of what they just did,
their skill position group's pretty weak.
Agreed, but it doesn't really matter when they're never really doing anything cool or interesting.
Right.
You need cool players to do cool stuff. They don't do cool stuff. They just have a quarterback who will move the chains with his feet. They, frankly, you know, Scadaboo as a runner was fun to watch, and it didn't really move the needle for me. And frankly, what Scadaboo seemed to be best at, or his most valuable trait to the Giants offense, was as a pass catcher on the swing pass out of the backfield. Well, Tyrone Tracy's legitimately better at it. And it's, again, not to say that Scadaboo wasn't very good at it. He was, like, really good at it. But Tyrone Tracy's one of the better pass catching backs, between the tackle stuff, outside zone stuff. Like, it didn't matter. No matter who you have in there, I imagine it'll be Devin Singletary this week. But going back to what you were saying about the Saleh thing, and this is an interesting, you noted, as we flip it over to the Giants defense, you noted how simplistic and basic and Madden 2005 they are. Along the lines with Saleh, the Niners are playing the second most cover six in the NFL this year. Second most.
That's Robert Saleh. Interesting.
Guess who has the lowest cover six rate in the NFL?
The Giants.
You know it's the Giants, baby.
I gotta say, we've been talking for weeks about how often teams are running cover six, cover seven, where it's basically like split field, and then there's like triangles that the defense are like man matching, depending on the routes that come out. That's how they're choosing to cover it. And there's a lot of communication that goes into that and how to pass it off, especially with like pre-snap motions, especially when there's like a tight bunch and like weird different releases. The Niners have struggled at times, especially when there's sort of natural rubs to those.
It seems to be getting worse too.
It does seem to be getting worse. What I will say is watching the Giants, I was like, I don't see any of that. I see when you call in Madden and you say, we're going to run cover four, just basic cover four. I'm like, that's cover four. That's cover three. And yes. And it's not really. And the only thing they'll do, which feels like maybe the early days of Saleh starting to experiment, where they would like double A sort of mug and act like the linebackers were going to blitz and then drop straight into coverage.
the Mike Zimmer defense from 2012.
Yeah. By the way, the linebackers, their depths are all messed up. They're either getting way too deep or they're like sucked into a play action. And then there's just seven guys at the line of scrimmage and acres to work with. I found it hard to sort of imagine a way that Kyle Shanahan doesn't rip them this week in terms of, I just see so many open gaps, so many easy throws, so many ways you can dictate how you want to run this game. And as much as their defensive front has a lot of like sick players, it hasn't necessarily been consistent. I think Abdul Carter and Brian Burns are going to be problems, especially for Colt McKivitz. I think it's weirdly a good game for Trent Williams against sort of smaller speed guys because Abdul Carter just doesn't have power. That was the thing we talked about coming out of the draft. He's not an edge setter.
He's a lighter Micah Parsons.
He's got like 17 pressures, I think, and that's clearly more than any other rookie. I think Michael's second in the league, and he has probably 10 fewer.
For the team with the lowest pressure rate in the NFL.
Right. But at the same time, I saw, and granted, last week was against Lane Johnson, but I saw Abdul Carter get pummeled into the dirt three or four or five times.
And you wonder why they lined him up as a linebacker at times this year. It's so that he could get a running start because hand in the ground actually playing defensive end? No, he's an edge.
And it's a four-man front, but sometimes they'll really add five and just try and get ways for him to not have an advantageous matchup. And again, that speed and that ghost move around the edge, that might be a real problem for Colton McKivitz because he struggles to extend on those plays.
And he doesn't have the best first step coming out of his stance.
No, but it's always he's a half step or a half yard from clearing.
It's like he doesn't know what people he's protecting the inside, right? He doesn't want to get beat on the inside. But he does that back step and it's like he's consistently shocked that somebody is running really fast around him. And we just saw it repeatedly last week with Will Anderson. I will say that the Giants have the worst rush defense in the NFL by EPA. I couldn't believe it watching the tape. I didn't think it was the worst, but
I wouldn't have guessed it was the worst, but it didn't look good.
They're 46% worse than the next worst team, which is the Bengals.
That's quite bad. That's
which is where my frame of mind was. I agree with everything where you're like, I see so many opportunities for the Niners here. Like, if you can't beat that, that's where my mind went. Cynical Dieter went like, man, if they can't move the ball against these dudes, they can't move the ball. Like, this is a standard for the 49ers. They have to reestablish some baselines this week. Both sides of the ball. If you can't move it against these guys, you're not very good. And if you can't stop these guys, you're not very good. Like, this is the remedial test, frankly.
I'm with you.
The one that they've needed all year in a lot of ways. And I've seen them do well in games similar to this before with one side of the ball. You get both sides of the ball where it's like, you need to just dominate. And I'm not sure if they can or they can't.
I think that's fair. I think all the questions about who's actually playing on Sunday is a major factor.
Do you think?
But it's like, it's funny because there's all these guys that the Giants have, but in my notes, it says their front looks really easy to move. Dexter Lawrence
defensive front,
Yes. Dexter Lawrence is awesome, but it feels like they've not been using him right. And they're just their alignment on their defensive bizarre. Front seems really, really strange and unbalanced. And it looks like there were a ton of opportunities for split zone and gap, a lot of cutback lanes where, yeah, granted, there's Saquon Barkley last week, but there were just really, really easy opportunities to run the ball sort of regardless of who your personnel is.
Right. I mean, you can throw in Tank Bigsby, and he looks good.
Yeah, I was like, I watched a play. I was like, well, that's Tank Bigsby. Or, I mean, that's Saquon Barkley.
Saquon. Saquon's looking a little slow. No, it's Tank.
It's Tank.
It's their kick returner, the fourth best running back on the Jaguars, Tank Bigsby. I will say this. I imagine that they will just slide in Tracy as the pass catching back, and they'll do kind of a first, second down thing with Singletary. Again, all dependent on health. You are going to be so sick of Wandale Robinson bubble screens, like they're the 2010 Texas Longhorns with Colt McCoy and Jordan Shipley. Was it Jordan Shipley? Where their only play was bubble screen. My goodness. It is an annoyingly basic offense. Like, when we talk about how, you know, we're not fans. We obviously have some favorites, but we root for the game being played at the highest level. I cannot abide by the New York Giants in the same way I can't abide by the Arizona Cardinals on offense. Like, this is some rinky-dink Conference USA bullshit.
Dieter, I watched one play where I think it was, I don't even know what the play was, but it was literally three routes on the right side of the field, and they all just sat at 8 yards. Three players, none of them broke out. None of them, it was just snag routes. They all sat right there, and nothing was open, obviously. So Jackson Dart scrambled and then took a shot.
They run a tremendous amount of flood concept with a trips formation, but you're right. They will at times have a comebacker on a flood route, and it's like, what are you doing? You're all in the same spot.
It feels like, again, when you're playing Madden and you get a coach suggestion, you're tapping A too quick, and you go, I picked the wrong play. And then you go to audible, and you're like, this is a terrible look for any of my audibles. I guess we'll just run this, and I'll scramble with a quarterback.
I mean, kind of. Sometimes I run all verts just so that I can run the quarterback, and you're just hoping it's man. It is – there's a lot of stuff on here that – felt again like rudimentary or just elementary, like it just basic stuff. Like they run basic flood stuff. They run smash on the left side with the two by two. Like, again, stuff that you and I could install. I don't mean that as like we're smart. I mean that in the most pejorative way possible. You and I could install the nuts and bolts of this offense. They don't run anything interesting, anything cool. And perhaps I didn't go back and watch what they did with Russell Wilson. I presume it was a lot of the same stuff. But how can Brian Daboll be considered some sort of or is it Mike Kafka? How can either of those guys be considered effective in their jobs as coordinators? Yeah.
Would you like to guess who's lowest in motion rate this season?
The Giants.
Sorry, it's the Titans at 36%.
There we go.
The Giants, 36.1%. And again, that's not to say that motion defines an offense as being good or bad, but it does reveal a level of complexity. And it does help you identify matchups.
That's right.
And other coverages and get to advantageous positions where if you have a running back and you try and get the right defensive matchup, you try and get the right defensive personnel on the field based on your personnel, then you motion people out. Anyway.
It's like 2012, man. Like, this stuff is just so
they're also fourth
unevolved.
In shotgun rate. They're just all shotgun, just all screens, just It feels like a bad college offense.
I'm going to just bring up Benali for a second. When did the Giants fire Wink Martindale? I thought he was still there, DC. When did this happen? Wink Martindale quit.
Yes.
Full stop.
He's in Michigan, right?
Yeah, he's at Michigan. Or I don't even know if he's still there. He quit straight up before last season. Am I correct on that time frame? Right. Where He just decided that he was done with them. it was kind of a thing. He kind of burned some bridges on his way out of town. Yeah, this is definitely not a Wink Martindale defense, because Wink Martindale tries things and has
ideas.
I like
that we're going to get a Wink Martindale and old pencil ear matchup in Ohio State, Michigan this year.
Hey, I know what time that game will be at. 9 a.m. Pacific. So it is. This has a chance to be the most. I'll give you the cynical take first, and okay. Then I'll give you. And I don't think that this is the realistic thing, but I want to set a baseline possibility.
Sure.
This could be the worst football game you have ever seen in your life. We could go back to back.
I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun bad as opposed to last week, but continue.
I don't know what fun bad is, but it will not be fun bad for the folks who watch with a vested interest, and it's definitely not going to be fun bad for me, somebody who enjoys watching football tactics and the chess game and cool players doing cool stuff. This has a chance to be the worst kind of football game, in that the Niners could look like they did again last week, because it's the Niners issue. It has a lot to do with what the Texans. This is just setting a baseline.
This is a cynical take. This is the cynical take. Okay.
There is a chance that it's the Niners defense is god awful. The Niners offense is god awful. And it doesn't matter who they're playing, they're going to be god awful. Like, I do think that is a possibility here. And it will be proven true or false this Sunday. And if that's the case, then I know we're going to get four god-awful units on the field, whereas at least the Texans had a cool defense and a semi-competent offense, and it was still a terrible game to watch.
Yes.
The flip side is what you just said, which is chaos. We're going to have some fun. Big 12. Who knows what any of this shit is, but it's fun to watch. I would, if I had to register a guess, and I'll just get my prediction out now, it's that the Niners are able to actually move the ball with a level of impunity, because they get the ball out of their hands fast. They take the lessons from the Texans defense and apply it to a defense that has nothing to do with the Texans defense, except for the fact that the Giants are second most in cover. They run the second most cover four in the NFL.
Right.
And they run like one of the most, they're one of the most dime heavy teams, but they run the second most cover four. The team that runs cover four most is who?
You tell me.
Houston Texans. But here's the difference. The Houston Texans rush four and drop four back and have their linebackers just hang out in that middle ground, which is where they should be, because they're sharks. But they can get away with that because their defensive line wins. It wins all the time.
And they've got quality players at every single level.
Absolutely. And this defensive line, for all of its accolades for, oh, wow, Brian Burns is so good, and, you know, look at that, they don't win. They don't win. They only seem to get home when they're doing something, and they can do some stuff. There's some stunts. There's some sims. They'll do a coffee house every now and again. Like, there's some stuff that they do, but they don't, like, win. And that was the big difference. I think that will prove to be the difference this week from last week, where last week with Houston, it was Mac Jones dropping back. He goes, okay, I got like three seconds here, except, oh shit, no, I don't. I have 1.5 to 2. Because that team wins, and they win and get to the quarterback in like 2.1 seconds on average. They're just winning man v. man. And while that can happen for the Giants, they don't do it enough to back up what they run behind. This is Saleh's like ideal, where it's rush four, drop seven, and not even – they're really dropping them, except they don't get home enough. And I think that Mac Jones, having just played the Texans, this is going to look like easy mode for him.
I agree. Again, I'll start with the bad. I do think there's a total possibility they lose this game. I mean, the way this team is set up right now with injuries, I mean, they could lose to any single. I know it's the most coach speak thing of all time, but they could lose to any team any week for the rest of the season.
Worst pressure rate in the NFL, totally convoluted secondary where they don't even know who's playing, and an offense that can get very one-dimensional very fast by coach mandate. Yeah, they absolutely can lose to anybody.
who still don't have great skill position players aside from Kittle and McCaffrey, and who just their offensive line is pretty inconsistent and is okay, but mostly bad.
Yeah.
So I think there's a possibility that they get in their own way, that they can't move the ball because they're just not executing right. Like early on, it's just ugly and muddy, and that lets the Giants sort of hang around, and the Giants are able to move the ball a little bit because the 49ers secondary is struggling to communicate, and Jaxon Dart and Tyrone Tracy get going on the ground, and the Giants can move the ball a little bit. I think that's sort of like the worst case scenario where this game gets away for the Niners.
Yeah.
I think the likeliest scenario is they're able to move the ball pretty easily on offense.
Yeah.
And regardless of what the Giants do on offense, there's some rookie mistakes. Saleh throws some stuff Dart's way that he's not prepared for. There's an ugly turnover on that end. And the Niners are just able to like move the ball pretty effectively for most of the game. The only alternative is where they get stopped in the red zone and come up short. But I feel like that hasn't been as much of a problem as of late. Like, I feel like they've been pretty good in the red zone. So I think my gut is pretty rationally that the Niners will be able to move the ball. The Giants defense will probably get home a few times. I think if Mac gets like strip sacked or something where McKivitz is a real problem, that could do him in. But it's tough. I just really think the Niners are going to win this game.
I'll say this. The Giants are going to wear their throwback Lawrence Taylor era, Phil Sims era uniforms. Ooh. Which very
that
nice.
Could be a problem.
It could be a problem for Jaxon Dart because they wear white pants. And if Robert Saleh is going to earn his salary, I need to see some soiling, right? There's not going to be any cover-up. We got a big offensive lineman, three towels in the back. I need to see something leaking down those white pants because if you let him do whatever it is he wants to do, his swag meter can fill up. And, like, legitimately, he's a solely vibes-based quarterback. Yes. And I just do whatever you can to make him wonder if the vibes are in fact all right, bro.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I will say, and I think we should talk about Keon White for a second.
Absolutely.
The Niners, it does sound like Yetur Grosmatos will be back. Funny game to come back on this turf. You know, all right, I will make one prediction. This will be the healthiest.
You're give me a game prediction at the end.
It's not really a game prediction. This is... Yep. This will be the healthiest game the Niners play all year. No one will get hurt on the MetLife turf. They will come out of this game almost completely clean.
That's perfect. Just because us and everybody else is like, how many carts? How many carts? We got the Tecmo Bowl cart coming on the field in our minds. And
100%.
Yeah, this one's it's going to be clean, efficient. No one's going to explode ligaments at all.
Right. Yeah, that's my prediction. Until we find out in 2 weeks that every guy has a ligament issue lingering from the Giants game.
His foot fell off. He got trench foot.
He's playing through it. He's a gamer. Keon White. Let me talk about him.
I would love him to.
So I watched him. You watched him.
Yeah.
I'll just read my notes real quick. The bad first. Sloppy technique. Bad hands. Lack of any pass rush plan. Just running in blind. Consistently stumbling. Gets locked onto by offensive linemen way too easy. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really seem like a defensive end at all.
No.
Pros, high motor, very, very high athleticism, built well, some real strength in there. And when you put him inside, Nevin Bad Michael he's in a similar mold, slightly different frame, but like Saleh made the comparison that, Keon White. He literally compared him to Michael in that mold. And it's clear, like you can see what the Niners are going for. And I text you, it's like they're building just a defensive line of Armsteads and then just springy dudes. There's no real in between. So I think White, in terms of like helping maybe with the run game a little bit, helping in terms of just like pure physicality as an edge is a possibility. But for me, he's a 3-5 guy. Solomon Thomas rehab program where he's not an edge rusher, 3-5, move him inside. You can even put him over the nose at one, but do not put him at 9.
No. And I don't think they will, to be frank. He's too big. He's too heavy to play 9.
Yep.
You could play him at a seven for sure. And probably that's his best position. I do think one gap will suit him. I know that they've, I don't know what it is they're running on defense with the Patriots. And by the way, that Patriots defense is a real paper tiger right now. Drake May is playing at an MVP level, and it's covering up a lot of deficiencies on that team. So that's the conversation to be had down the line. But the way that the Niners are building this defensive line as it stands, very reminiscent of how teams are built in basketball these days. Like, what's a power forward? What's a shooting guard? You have a point guard. You have a big man, and you have wings. And sometimes you don't even have any of those. You just have wings. And I am, I think that it's an effective way of going about it, because if you are going to be multiple and dynamic on defense, be multiple and dynamic.
Everybody's everything. Everyone's a flex. Everybody can play sort of every position. And will it work out? Will you get caught in some weird stuff because you're a little too obsessed with everybody being like a wing player? Maybe, but it also means that you've got a lot of flexibility and you can stunt guys inside and out. And there's a base level of athleticism. And like, even with Alfred Collins, who's not a fast guy, there's just like a level of aggression that needs to be accounted for. Like, when I watched him, and I'm just randomly talking about Alfred Collins now, he gets double teamed more than anyone on this defense purely because of his size. He's not there yet as a player, but he's not really someone you can just leave alone because he's that large.
The offensive linemen physically cannot handle them on their on their own. Makes sense. I'm also of the mindset that like White will be seen as sort of a it's as good of an upgrade as they probably could have made given the asset allocation that they had to to
give. And they'll probably shut him down so they don't have to give up that Is it a sixth, I believe?
I think it was Jordan Mason sixth.
They have to give back the seventh, I think, if he plays enough. It was a sixth, seventh, and you get White. You have to give back the seventh you got.
Well, they know that no one on this team will, quote, play enough. But it felt to me like in the moment he was a Yetur Gross-Matos replacement. So it's interesting that Yetur Gross-Matos is coming back. I guess they're not in a position to replace anybody.
I don't feel like he's in the same build. I think Yetur's more of like a skinny, bendy, sort of stand-up Arden Key mold more than White is in that mold. But
Arden
think
Key never played on the inside.
Yeah, he did for the Niners.
I don't remember that at all.
He didn't. He would stand up. He would stand up and rush over, the interior offensive line.
Totally space it. That was Wilkes doing that?
No. That was D'Amico, I think.
Oh, okay.
It was either D'Amico or Late Sala.
I guess I should probably brush up on my Arden Key, seeing as they've already shut him down for the weekend. Wonder what.
Yeah,
that's
he'll probably
about.
Be back.
He'll probably be back. I need a
2021. 2021.
There we go. Thank you.
Career high 6.5 sacks.
Some stuff has happened since then. Yeah. I need a prediction from you for the game.
Yes. I am going to say a rare, like pretty confident one, 31, Niners 31, Giants 23.
Okay. I'm going a little bit lower scoring. I'm going 25-17, 49ers.
Sounds about right.
If they cannot run again, I come back to this. It's not, we will, praise them if they look good as they deserve it. You win an NFL game, you deserve praise. I am more interested to see what they can't do, because what they can't do feels like a real red flag moving forward. If they can run the ball, if they can pass it, stop the, whatever they can do in this game, great, because they should be able to do it. They should be able to do whatever they want in this game. It's marginal competition if you are a playoff caliber team.
Yes. One thing I think, because people are mentioning trades, and we can go through a couple comments.
Sure.
I think if they win this game, they do try and push for another acquisition, trying to use like a fourth round pick, and maybe it's a sort of conditional thing. But they've got, I think, 3 4th round picks, maybe four. I think it's three. So I think they're going to push. There's people are mentioning a couple guys getting shut down at the weekend, Trey Hendrickson. I don't necessarily know that they'll make a push for a Trey Hendrickson. I mean, I think they are sniffing around to see if they can get that done. I think the cost will be slightly too high, mm-hmm. but I don't think that they're going to make a deal like that unless they win this weekend. What do you think of that?
I think that they've used up their allocation. I don't think that they can get anybody. I don't know who you get for a fourth round pick.
Right.
That's worth the squeeze, because if they were a good enough player, you'd be using a first or a second or a third round pick. Probably that second and the third to amalgamate a first, right?
Right.
But if they weren't a good player, then why are you giving up a fourth? Like, it's just yeah. that middle ground. It's a, you know, 40 degree cloudy day.
I will say, though, like the Dolphins, Chris Greer just got fired. I'm and because that can go one of two ways, where they say Greer didn't want to sell. He wanted to, you know, protect the team. Whatever, because that means his job is out. And so he was probably like being told to sell, and that's how you could interpret that. And then they sell.
Have you heard the now this was a conspiracy theory that I thought had some legs, in that Greer, because he's been there for 20 years. I've known Chris Greer for a long time. When I covered the Dolphins, like he was around, like all like very easy to get in contact. Could talk to Chris. I'm probably not going to call him today, but you can get in contact with Chris Greer whenever. He also has one playoff win in 20 years, so it's going great. But he was around for the Brian Flores saga, which if folks out there do not recall, Brian Flores was once the head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Correct.
And he was fired for not tanking effectively. And meanwhile, Stephen Ross had Tom Brady and Sean Payton on his boat, trying to figure out how they could get him both. There was a lot of stuff that, you know, the NBA's got their CBA situation. That's a little bit more extreme, but there was a lot of stuff that resulted in some hefty fines
yeah.
for Stephen Ross, and a lawsuit that is currently ongoing from Brian Flores. It's still, and like the fact that it still has legs indicates that this thing probably goes all the way to trial, because it's been years now. And there was a belief that Chris Greer couldn't get fired because Chris Greer for the last 20 years has known where everybody has been buried at Hard Rock Stadium, or Joe Robbie is what I still call it. And I guess that's not true. I bet that he got a big fat wad of cash to leave. That's what I think happened, because it was a mutual parting. And I bet that that mutual parting was a lucrative parting for Chris Greer. I also have no idea who takes over next. Like, I don't know who his deputy is, because I haven't covered the Dolphins in a very long time. I imagine that that man's job is just about the worst.
I know who it is.
Who is it?
Chip Kelly's son, Champ.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, it's Champ Kelly.
There's not just another guy with the last name Kelly. I mean, Champ Kelly is absolutely.
Oh, it's a different. Sorry, it's not. It's sorry. It is a different guy. Sorry, I just assumed Champ Kelly was Chip Kelly's son.
Yeah, Chip Kelly. Doesn't have children.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Chip Kelly got married in like a secretive wedding.
It's a totally different guy. That makes me feel better. I just assumed the NFL, the way the Kubiaks operate, where it's Clay and
Don't look up the Raiders, Steph.
Clay and Clint, all with K's. So
yeah.
It's a totally different guy.
Our apologies to Champ Kelly. Black guy? White guy?
Former wide receiver and cornerback.
Well, there's a little bit of a giveaway there. So, black guy.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I doubt he's Chip Kelly's son then. Just going he's, on. I mean,
yes.
It could be mixed, but
Chip Kelly's son.
Chip Kelly's about the whitest motherfucker I've ever seen in my life. So, New Hampshire, baby.
That sounds about right.
Apologies to Champ Kelly. Whose job I'm sure is quite awful these days. Did you see that our man Mike McDaniel is going to be the head coach till the end of the year?
At least.
Schefter said that today. He's going to be the coach to the end of the year. It's like, wow, what an exciting time for the Miami Dolphins. Like, we know that he's going to be fired at the end of the year. Let's just ride out these next couple of months, because why not?
Yeah, I don't really understand it, but
whatever.
Okay.
You're saying that sorry, terrible aside. You're saying that they would have some fourth round options, some players,
no,
right?
So
in that
Nevin
weird
point
ground?
Nevin makes a good point that the pick is tied, their current only available fourth round pick is tied to the Bryce Huff trade. It's either a fourth or a fifth, so you can't really touch it because it's based on, I think, how much he plays. So great point out there.
As it stands, then they can only trade their first, second, and third round picks,
right? Or a future. So I would say I could see a world where it's like they trade a three, but get like a five or a six back. Given that they're so absolutely terrible at drafting in the third round, and I know that that shouldn't really be a factor, that you should say every draft is its own independent thing, and we should value picks independently, and that's not, you know, a way a front office should do business. You could make an argument that setting a third round pick on fire would be better than what they actually do with them.
Champ Kelly, for reference, former assistant general manager of the Raiders. So showed up just before his dad got there.
Yes. Also, Benal, yes, they could throw in Juwan Jennings or someone. Who knows?
It's
just so broken.
It's possible. It's just not terribly plausible.
Yeah.
Right? It is absolutely just a... it could happen. I just don't know if anyone's willing to
give the
49ers that much grace in negotiations, you know?
I do think there are just some teams that make stupid decisions, and the market has been pretty cheap so far.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't seemed like teams have gotten great value out of any of these trades. So,
well,
just telling teams.
The trades that have happened, though, are, correct me if I'm wrong, trades that have happened, though, have been kind of first-year head coaches trying to clean house a little bit.
Right.
Like, we've given this 6-7 weeks. It ain't working.
The Jets, Jermaine Johnson.
I wouldn't give up a third for him, that's for damn sure.
No. But
next year's draft picks are at 50% discount, right? Like, also, if you're the 49ers and you're kind of looking down, it's like, man, okay, 26. How are we feeling about our stuff? We got a lot of holes on this roster still. I don't know how we feel about, you know, some of these picks that we have a little bit of data on now. They might not be too keen to be giving away future draft picks. They've already sold a shit ton of their current ones. So I don't know. Is there a trade that you would like to see them make, a reasonable one for, like, let's say a third rounder?
I think it's tough because a third rounder is a lot, but yeah. I think if you do a third,
I mean, think about the value of a third rounder.
I know,
Jake. You don't want to mess that up at all.
I know. Well, they could just trade their last third rounder they draft.
What could they get for him right now? Could they get a seventh?
It is. Yeah, of course. Of course.
Are you sure about that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Listen, let's just say a lot of people have come out of the woodwork over the last couple of months being like, never got it. And it's a bit of confirmation bias.
He hasn't played yet. We'll see.
Yeah, I am. I'm not sold.
Yeah,
I'm not sold.
I think there's an argument you could trade Jair Brown or Juwan Jennings. I don't think that will happen because Jennings is too injured and they seem to want to start Jair, even though I think you don't really need to.
Fascinated to see what they do there this week.
Yeah, I feel like they'll just keep it as Mustafa and Jair.
Why?
I don't know, but that's just what they've been doing. So
Bob's losing his. Bob's just run out of gas, I think. He doesn't have.
I think last week he ran out of gas, and now he's like, "All right, I'm going back to the East Coast. I gotta lock in." Just stuffing in these motherfuckers' faces.
I don't show up at the Meadowlands and lose. I didn't do that for four straight years.
Right.
There is.
I think if they win, they will look at trying to get somebody either from the Jets or the Dolphins or sniff around Trey Hendrickson with some sort of swap. But I don't know that, like, a straight third round pick, I don't think that's really responsible.
I think,
unless it's somebody who's under contract for multiple years.
Right.
And then why are you trading them?
Yeah. Sometimes you can get a third round pick. I know Dieter says he's fascinated. That's because I know the answer, right? I know that they're going to keep Jair there, and I don't get it. And I'd like to get it. Like, right, it's not my call It's his team, his defense, his neck on the line.
Okay, but the coverage, yeah. I just don't understand how
Jair Brown can make all the same mistakes as Marquise Siegel, and yet he's the one who gets the opportunity. Like, what? Huh? What? I don't get it.
Honestly, maybe it's something where they want Siegel to see and watch and wait and learn.
Go to the press box and watch.
Right.
They do that in hockey all the time. Go and watch from the press box. Doesn't seem to work, like, ever. By the way, don't let the Sharks learn how to defend.
Ooh.
They fall.
We got to go to a Sharks game.
We should have gone last night, frankly. We should. It was Devils and Sharks. It was a barn burner. Devils, who were like the best team in hockey, and the Sharks are like, check this shit out. They laid five on them. Oh, it's good stuff.
I do want to mention this. His communication and coverage are worse than Siegel. I want to talk about the communication quote.
Love it.
That Salas mentioned, because I think it's something where, like, I've been talking about communication this entire time and how it's been bad. And so Salas, you know, he starts off, someone asked, you know, where do you start with your plan and what went wrong needs to be corrected, blah, blah, blah.
Why do you guys suck now?
Right. And so he goes, talks about fundamentals, and he goes, one is always going to be communication and making sure we're constantly talking and communicating, being loud. Always say that your confidence always projects in the volume of your voice. And if you're out there screaming and yelling your technique and the checks and your assignments, then you're pretty confident about what your job is. But if you're quiet out there, you might need to get in the book a little bit more. Mm. So to me, that feels like he's admitting, like, yeah, the coverage has been bad. Like, I have not been impressed with how we've been communicating. It's been quiet. And probably challenging the players a little bit, like, hey, know your shit. And, like, I'm going to keep calling it. So you better be right. It's on you, not me, to get it right. So I don't know. I think it will be interesting if they can improve there, because, again, it's really communicating a lot of stuff, and they've been bad.
And it has to change, because when you don't have any pressure, you have to be able to lean on your secondary. And right as that happened, the secondary's fallen apart. This is something that I think we both noted when the Packers got Parsons. It's like, well, they have a really questionable secondary. Well, it doesn't fucking matter anymore, because they're getting home a lot. And Parsons has been kind of underwhelming, frankly, since the first couple games, but they have such a good pass rush with him and Gary, and just run through the names, the white guy, it doesn't matter that their secondary is somewhat porous, because you don't have time to exploit that. There are some teams that don't have a pass rush, but they have a really good secondary. Obviously, the best teams have both. The Niners have neither right now. And the pass rush is just not going. There's no upside with this pass rush. It's not going to get better. It could be okay for a stretch, but it's not going to. They might go from 32nd to 30th. Like, that would be a dramatic improvement.
Yeah, the only way it changes is, like, if Collins starts getting going somehow, but pass rush is not his strength, or CJ West comes back and starts winning. But, like,
I can't see any of that happening. I mean, neither can I. Because you would have to turn Alfred Collins into, I mean, Chris Jones. Like, that's how you still win.
Yeah.
Mikel would have to, I don't even know what Mikel's comp is, which is part of the reason Mikel's fun and cool, but also very exotic and strange and indiscernible to people. So that pass rush just isn't going to get home. It's not going to put pressure on the quarterback. Therefore, it's not going to force any speed ups or anything like that. Quarterbacks will beat themselves, but the Niners aren't going to beat any quarterbacks with that pass rush, which means that the secondary is going to have to be on point. And I think the talent's there. I really do. I think Stout gives you enough. They play as much nickel as anybody in the NFL right now. Lenore, we have gone in, but it's not as if he lacks talent. Renardo,
Green's
same
super
thing.
Talented. It's just a communication thing. Like, all of those guys, like Mustafa's basically brand new to this system. They're all brand new. They're all young. So it's all these guys being like, do you know what your job is? There's not like one vet in there. And so maybe that's what Jair's supposed to be, or that's what Pinnock was. But, like, it's, I don't know. It's new to all these guys because they didn't run it the last 2 years. They're doing a lot of new stuff. I don't know how that fixes, other than for someone to get it. And Siegel was supposed to be the smart guy who, like, knew what everyone's assignment was on every single play. So maybe he just wasn't talking.
I had that's who came to mind when I read that quote, which is that he because he was so vocal and so loud early in the season, and then they started doing more and more cover six stuff, and it did seem as if he got a little bit more quiet. That's who first came to mind for me. I don't know if it's true or not.
That sounds right.
Because he's a naturally quiet guy, to be fair.
Agreed. I want to get to one comment.
I would love it.
Before we get out of here. We didn't mention the Giants linebackers. What did you think of their linebackers?
Sitting ducks.
Yeah. Okereke's not what he was, or Okereke, however you pronounce it. Muasau, super athletic guy who I kept wanting to like in the draft and never got there. I was like, oh, maybe, because he's one of those RAS guys. Never clicked.
I mean, to be the super mean way of putting it is, what linebackers? Like, they don't exist. They never once showed up on tape with me. You had to find them on tape.
And I think Kyle will find them.
I mean, this is a microscope game if there ever was one. Where, again, they're running the same stuff that Houston is running, except they are the exact opposite of Houston. Everywhere but defensive line, and they're not even close to as good on the defensive line. So
even though they've got a lot of good players on there. But
I did like
one of their other guys we didn't even mention on the defensive line. I can't remember his name.
You remember the number?
It wasn't Nunes Roches or something. Maybe it was.
Yeah, Nunes Roches. Yeah,
Roy Robertson Harris. Maybe that's what it was.
Roy Robertson. I don't remember. Who knows? Roy Robertson Harris. All right. Nunes Roches, former Chief.
Yeah. Yes.
He was okay. This game referendum. Referendum game for the Niners. You about it? You a playoff team? Prove it.
Yeah. I'm with you. And as much as this team has been up and down and pretty unpredictable, I think this would be a pretty damning loss even with all the pieces they're missing.
100% with you. Hopefully this wasn't a damning podcast. We'll talk Sunday. Bye.